So let's review. Zok the Mishnah, ve'elu mutarim ba'achila. The following food items of non-Jews are permitted for eating. Chalav shechalva evik acham Yisrael re'eu. If a non-Jew milked a cow, but there was a Jew watching, the milk is permitted. The Gemara explains that the Mishnah refers even to a case of Yeshiv Yisrael b'tzad edrei shel evik achavim. V'chikai chazilei v'chiyasav lechazilei. The Jew is sitting on the side of the non-Jew's herd, and the Jew can only observe the non-Jew when he stands. And the ikka davar tameh, the non-Jew also has non-kosher animals in his herd. Nevertheless, the milk is permitted because kivin dechikoi chazilei irtusei mirtas v'le ma'arav bei. The non-Jew is afraid to mix in chalav tameh because the Jew might stand up and see. The Mishnah continues, v'advash mutarin. The honey of a non-Jew may be eaten. And the Gemara explains and eliminates three possible concerns. Imishum meruve misrasari. There's no concern that the non-Jew mixed wine into it because the honey would spoil. Imishum bishuli akum nachal kamashu chai. There's no concern that the non-Jew might have cooked the honey because honey can be eaten raw. Imishum giuli akum nesin tam lafgamhu mutter. There's no concern that the honey was possibly stored in a non-kosher utensil and absorbed a forbidden taste because this taste becomes spoiled and is therefore permitted. The Mishnah continues, v'hadabdonias afa bishem enatfin im behem mishum hechsher mashka. Juice dripping from a cluster of grapes does not achieve a hechsher tuma on the grapes because l'kaboy le'lamashka. The owner does not want the juice because these grapes are designated for eating, and the mashka that was shalei l'ratzon, not wanted, does not achieve hechsher. However, in the brice regarding haboitzu l'gas, hechsher, the person harvested grapes to be pressed and some juice dripped onto the grapes, both Bisham and Basil agree that the juice does achieve a hechsher tuma on the grapes because hasam kaboy le'lamashka. The owner does want the juice because these grapes are designated for their juice, and the mashka that was l'ratzon, wanted, does achieve hechsher. The Mishnah continues, "V'kvashin she'ein darkan losa l'teich en yayin l'chaymetz mutter." Vegetables or meat preserved in brine to which the akum does not usually add wine and vinegar are permitted to be eaten, and there is no concern that the akum mixed in stam yenum. V'tarah she'ein etrufa mutter. A whole taras fish may be eaten because there is no concern that the akum mixed in dag tameh, because it's recognizable since it is in its original form. The Gemara proceeds with a brisa. Ezuhi tarah she'ein etrufa, kol sh'roish v'shedru nikar. If the fish's head and spine were still visible, the fish may be eaten. I think Gemara mentions a machlekes in the understanding of the brisa. Rav Huna says, "Achtei reish v'shedra nikar." Both the head and the spine must be visible. While Rav Nachman says, "Oy reish oy shedra," either the head or the spine must be visible. Rav Yehuda Mishmei De'ula explains, "Machlekes letavol betziran." The machlekes is only regarding to eat from the fish's brine, and only here Rav Nachman says either reish or shedra are sufficient. However, regarding begufan, divrei kol aser achtei reish v'shedra nikar. To eat from the actual fish, even Rav Nachman agrees that both reish v'shedra are required. Rav Papa concludes, hilchasa achtei reish v'shedra nikar shel kol achas v'achas. And accordingly, we must say that the brayse that rules chaticha shesh ben siman bein mekulam bein mekzasin v'afila be'echad mimeir shebehen kulam mutaris, even if only one piece had a kosher siman, all the other pieces may be eaten. The brayse refers to kishe chatichas shavis, when all the pieces are lined up and it is obvious that they all belong to one fish. Mishnah continues, Mitzir sheyesh bedag mutar. Fish brine that has kilbis floating in it may be eaten because the growth of kilbis indicates that tzir dag tummy was not mixed in. The Gemara cites a braisa, the ezu tzir sheyesh bedaga, kol she kilbis achas eshtei kilbi yeshayter teispay. If there were one or two kilbis in it, the brine may be eaten. And the Gemara explains, bestumois kilbis achas, bepsuchis eshtei kilbi yes. In a sealed barrel, even one kilbis is sufficient because it certainly grew from the fish brine. But in an open barrel, two kilbis are required, and one kilbis is not sufficient because, as Rashi explains, perhaps one kilbis might have fallen inside from somewhere else, and it did not grow from the brine. Rav Chinna bar Idi says, if a non-Jew brought a boatload of barrels of fish brine, and there were kilbis in only one barrel, it depends. Psuchais kulam mutaris. Stumais hi mutaris v'kulam asuris. If all the barrels were open, then all the other barrels were also permitted, because as Rashi explains, we assume that those barrels also had at least two kilbis, and they fell out. However, if all the barrels were closed, then only the barrel with the kilbis is permitted, but all the other barrels are forbidden. Amar Breinu Amar Rav, kirvi dagim v'ubarin ein nekachin ela min hamumcha. Fish intestines and fish eggs may be bought only from a dealer, but not from a private person, because there is a concern that they come from a dag tummy. The Gemara asks, lama li mumcha livdeg b'simanim? Why don't we check the fish eggs for their simanim? As the Braisa says, ki simani beitzim, kach simani ubari dagim. Kosher fish eggs bear the same signs as kosher chicken eggs. Gemara explains that Rav refers to kishanim meichu. The fish eggs were crushed, and their simanim are not visible. The Gemara proceeds with the machlekes regarding im ein sham mumcha. If there was no dealer, Rabbi Yehuda says, kiven the amar animalach the mutarn. If the Akum says, I salted these eggs and they came from a kosher fish, he's believed and the eggs are permitted. Or Rav Nachman says, Ashayemer elu dogum elu kervein. The Akum must show him the actual fish. But if he says the eggs came from a kosher fish, he's not believed, and the eggs are forbidden, because as Rashi explains, shemelei bakihein. Perhaps the Akum is not familiar with the signs of kosher fish. The Mishnah continues, v'ala shal chiltes mutter. The leaves of the chiltes are permitted, as the Gemara explains, v'nitzucha el lekratin shabai. Even if they were pieces of chiltes in the utensil, they're permitted, and there is no concern that the Akum mixed in pieces that were cut with a non-kosher knife, because ishteruki hid ishtarek v'asa bahada. We assume that these pieces slipped off the leaves and fell into the utensil. Olives that were stored in the utensil until their oil oozed out are permitted. And the Gemara explains, even if the olive pits were extremely slippery, there's no concern that the alcohol mixed in wine, because hani machmas mishcha hu derafu. We assume that the pits become slippery from the oil. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says, Hashalachan asurin. As the Gemara explains, if the pit slips through his fingers, the olives are forbidden, because there is a concern that the pits became slippery from wine. The Mishnah continues, grasshoppers that come from the baskets in front of storekeepers are forbidden, because the Akum sprinkle wine onto the grasshoppers. However, grasshoppers that come from the storage place are permitted, because the Akum do not sprinkle the wine on it until they are ready to be sold. The Mishnah concludes, as Rav Sheshes explains, this halacha also applies to a kohen who is suspected of selling produce of truma as chulin. Only the fruits that are in front of him are forbidden, but the fruits that come from storage are permitted, and there's no concern that these are truma fruits, because they're tusei mirtes, savr shami be'rabanu masudili minoi. He does not mix truma into the storage, because he's afraid that the Rabban will find out and will issue a prohibition on all his stored fruits. Hanulach Perak Ima Midmur Baruch Hashem completed the second parak of Masechta Zavai Dezara, and will begin the third parak called Slamim in the next shir Be'ezras Hashem.